Did you know that you are important to God? Did you know that? You really are. Did you know that you are the object of His attention every day of your life? And you say, Brother Bleck, where did you read about that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to turn to Psalm 139 and just see how important you are to God. Psalm 139. Most folks struggle with the feelings of insignificance. Have you been there? Unimportant. We read about all these athletes and these great singers and those that achieve much in the academic field, the writers and television stars and TV personnel and for those that are really smart in school and skillful writers. And we kind of feel intimidated sometimes. I don't know if you do, but when I hear other preachers and ministers preach or missionaries, I feel kind of insignificant compared to some of their abilities and achievements. And then when we compare ourselves with others, we often come up short. Insignificant. Unimportant. You know, as you think about that, I trust you might for these moments this morning. How about the population explosion? Billions of people on the face of the earth, and here's you and me by ourselves here. We feel pretty unimportant, you know what? I mean, we're just a number sometimes, a social security number. A bank account number, a credit card account number, we have a house number. it seems like maybe we're just kind of unimportant, pretty insignificant in our world. And then you have these machines that do marvelous things. Why? They're taking the place of many workers today. And then there's the computers. And they do much more and accomplish much more and are more accurate than some even specialized, skillful workers. And science doesn't help us. Our universe, science believe, is huge and vast. But you know, so vast that this earth that we live on is insignificant. It's a speck of matter surrounded by galaxies measured by light years and not miles. I guess it might cause one to think, who am I? Why am I here? Where do I fit in all this? What does it really matter? Well, I'll tell you what. It matters to God. Because you are very important to God, and you might have some feelings of insignificance at times, or unimportance at times. Even as we grow older, we might feel more like that. Been there, done that. Who really cares about me? God does. And we want to talk about two great attributes of God that prove to us that we are important to Him. We are the object of His attention every day of our life. You know, I've been in the ministry a few years. I feel that far too many people don't realize how awesome God really is. He is awesome. Some years ago, I heard about it or read about it and said something to the effect that nothing and nobody is awesome. Only God is awesome. And I thought about some of the adjectives about them. Some of the things he does and his works are unfathomable. They're unspeakable. They're unlimited. They're inconceivable, incredible, incomparable. That's our great God. He's awesome. Well, let me try to answer two questions about you and your relationship to God from Psalm 139. The first is this. How well does God know you? And how close is God near you? First, let's think about how well does God know you? You might say, how well does God know me? In these first six verses, we read about the omniscience of God, which means the all-knowingness of God. God knows everything. Verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with, what's the next three words? All my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It's unfathomable. It's incomprehensible, this great God of ours, and his knowledge of everything. So let's just think about it as we look into our own hearts and our own lives. It would seem that David is describing a person who is standing alone, and he's searching for answers regarding himself, regarding God, regarding his world. And he finds out that God is very personal, that God gives attention to him. God is involved in his life, and God is real. Awesome. Verse 1. Talk about his omniscience, all-knowingness. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Search him. God has searched me. It means to explore, to dig into. The thought is God explores us. He digs into our lives. He examines us through and through. Searches us. And he knows us, and he knows you, and he knows me. Now, I find that really uplifting. I find that encouraging. Why, it may seem unimaginable that God would just know you personally of all the, 7 billion people in the world today, and he knows you and he searches you and he digs in and he examines your life and he explores you through and through. Verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting. Just pause there. When you walked into your car and sat down, God knew it. You say, well, I just don't feel like that. No, you may not feel like that, but it's true. Believe it. Believe it. And when you walked into this room here this morning and you sat down, some of us saw you, but you know someone else saw you sit down. Lord God Almighty. Is he awesome or what? Oh, I find that almost inconceivable, but true. Not only did he know your down sitting, but the psalmist continues, and my uprising. He knew when you get out of the car this morning. He knew. Did we stand at all during the service? I don't know, but in a few moments you're going to be standing, and God knows it. He knew that. He knows you're upstanding, uprising. God cares that much to know about me and that much? Sure. And he cares about you that much. Why, he's involved. He gives his attention to you. You're the object of his attention. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you rise up. And if that isn't enough, verse 2 continues, thou understandest my, what's that word? Thought afar off. He knows your thoughts. He knows what each one of you are thinking right now. Good or not so good. He knows our thoughts. He knows my thoughts afar off. He's going to know my thoughts 5 minutes from now. He's going to know your thoughts 1 minute from now. Every moment of this day, he's going to know what you think the next hour. Your thoughts are far off. Isn't that, to me, folks, ladies and gentlemen, that is unfathomable, inimaginable, indescribable, incomprehensible. He's awesome. And it's wonderful to be part of his plan, praise the Lord, and part of his attention. So the casual moments and the common moments are completely familiar to God about you. Your thoughts and my thoughts are an open book to God Almighty. You know, one of my encouraging a response to this is to praise him for it and to be aware of it. You know, yesterday even, I had a thought that wasn't very great. It wasn't too good. And right away I thought, God knows that thought. Forgive me, Lord. He knows your thoughts. Open book to God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. And I believe, knowing the scripture as you, many of you do, he cares about you. And he loves you and cares. Verse 3, thou compasseth my path. Pause there. Compasseth. That's the idea of sifting through, scrutinizing. He scrutinizes your path, your walk. The idea of submitting ourselves to the scrutinizing mind and heart of God. He sifts away at our choices. He sifts us in our decisions. Compasseth our path. And my lying down, the verse continues. If you lie down this afternoon for a Baptist nap, God knows. In fact, I believe he knows where you're going to lie down if you do, and how long you're going to lie down. A cat nap or a little bit longer, who knows? You know, that is just amazing to me. How about you? God cares enough. And if that all isn't enough, the last part of verse 3, and art acquainted with how many of your ways? All thy ways. What a great God we serve. Amen. Thoroughly acquainted with us. Thoroughly. So the question was, how well does God know you? Completely. Thoroughly. And he's familiar and acquainted with all your ways. I suspect that most of us don't feel that. But you know, my Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Can we also say not by feelings? We're talking about some things that we don't feel a lot of times, but that's really not that important. It's the truth of it. Believe it. Now, now we get to some more insightful things about God's all-knowingness. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows the words that we speak. He knows the words that you spoke today, already this morning. He knows the words I've spoken. And I look back, I hope they all been good, wholesome, edifying kinds of words. And you know, it's good to be aware of that. You know what? It's good to be aware that God knows the words that we speak. I think it might help change the words that we speak sometimes. So think of it now. He knows the word in your tongue. He knows it all together. I believe he even knows our words before we utter them. Now, think of that. And just think of the people just here in this room, but how outside this room? How about those people in Belize, Central America? He knows the words that they're speaking and knows about them. And we thank God for the Choi Lewis family that's visiting here today, missionaries to Belize. But think about the billions of people in the world today. God knows, get this, I can't imagine. It's unfathomable, but God knows every word of every language in every human being on every continent at every moment of every day. Think of it. Is he an awesome God? Oh. Amazing. And to think that we can know this God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation. And to think that we can be children of God. You feel insignificant? You, my friend, and I am the object of God's attention every day of our lives. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before. The idea there is that beset has the idea of hemmed in, encloses. He encloses, he hems us in. I think that has the idea God controls the details of our lives. He steadies us and directs us and restrains us. He sets us behind and before. And laid thine hand upon me. I wonder if you believe this. If you believe the words of verse 6, I'm going to read them, and then would you mind repeating them? I'll repeat them phrase by phrase. Would you mind doing that? If you believe about these things that we've read, verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now, if you would believe that, would you repeat those phrases after me? Let me start out. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. What's our response? Praise and be aware of this truth. Now, I suggest that we're going to have two attributes of God. How well does he know you? Completely. Now, how about the next question? How close is God to you? How close is God to you? Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? Two good questions, huh? You know what the implied answer is? Nowhere. He's going to be there. God will be there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? I believe that's the Holy Spirit. And whither shall I go from thy presence? Now he gives some examples of it. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Good. We kind of know that. But how about this one? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now hell there is the Hebrew Sheol, and it's the place of the grave. Place where the bodies of the dead reside. So omnipresence, he's everywhere present. And so if I go up to heaven, you, God, are there. If I go down to the grave area, you, God, are there. Verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning, let's pause there. The wings of the morning, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? One commentator said it most likely describes the rays of the morning sun that flash across the sky. The rays of the morning sun that flash across the sky. Someone said, maybe that we could compare that light to the speed of light. You travel at the speed of light, you and I could get to the moon in less than 2 seconds. God is there. By traveling at the speed of light, we could reach the first star in 4 years. Oh, but God is there. Omnipresence. There's no place where God is not. Verse 9 continues, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Of course, the implied answer is, God is there. You ever been on the ocean in a boat? I was on a troop ship going to Korea in probably in 1953. And you'd be on that troop ship on that vast Pacific Ocean. And bobbing up and down at times and trying to eat in the mess hall when the food tray slides back and forth and trying to grab your tray. this huge ocean, you know what? You can feel pretty insignificant, except for one thing for sure. God is there. Verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know, the safest place in the world is in the hand of God. Yeah. And his hand, he leads you, and he holds you. Boy, I'm glad we can be in the hand of God. All this international affairs and possible nuclear bombs and all that takes place in our world, the violent crimes and explosions and bombs set off. Oh, you're in a safe place, my friend, in the hand of God. You feel distant at times from God, feel isolated sometimes. You feel isolated there, maybe in a hospital room, in a funeral home parlor, in the doctor's office, maybe at work, on the job. Feel isolated from God? Do you feel distant from God sometimes? Distance? Where is God? He's right there, right here, right in your life. During physical problems, God's there. During health issues, he's there. Broken relationship with family or friends, someone not talking to you, turn their back on you, God is there with you. Psalm 139 can help you. This song of David can be a help to remind you of the fact that God is everywhere. And another area that he is, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That long night that you have in your experience at times, hard times, difficult, in the darkness of night. It's just like daylight to God. I think about these people that rob things at night and steal and rob and maybe commit immoral acts of sinfulness. They think that because no human being might see them, I've got news for them. It's just like it's in broad daylight to God. He sees them. He sees all. He knows all. Well, should be our response to the omnipresence of God? Well, I believe one response, it's one of comfort. It's one of encouragement. The nearness of God to the believer. Someone named Faber, I guess it is, said this, "Speak to him then, for he listens. And spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, nearer than hands and feet." It's a comfort. He knows our prayers, the words on our tongue. He knows what our closing prayer is going to be. He knows what your prayers would be at the mealtime. And he hears and he answers prayers according to his will in his time for his glory. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement, a comfort, his omnipresence. But it's also a warning to be aware that God knows all about you and all about me thoroughly through and through. Knows the words we say and the thoughts we have and our uprising and our lying down and our sitting down were the object of his attention. And be sensitive to this great God and his almighty presence and his all-knowingness. Let's pray. It just may be that God has spoken to you about a certain matter in your life, a certain area of your life. Maybe it has to do with a relationship, a problem you're dealing with, a decision to make, a choice that you have to face, certain circumstances you're going through. Well, we found out this morning that God knows. God knows all about it. And God is present in that. And I believe he cares. And maybe in the quiet moments of this closing hour, you might talk to God about your circumstances. It might be a need to ask forgiveness about something, to praise him for something, to pray and ask him for that which is needed in your life for his glory. Our Father, we pause in love and adoration and worship of thy marvelous self. And we thank thee for being our God and our Father. And that you care. Thank you for this time this morning. And now continue to meet with us in this closing song to be sung. In Jesus' name, amen.